Oh, can we sing that one more time? Jesus be the Lord of all.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord.
Oh, with all your hearts now, submit it to Him.
Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my
heart. Oh, surrender all to Him now. Let's surrender it all.
And Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. And Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Let's just invite the Lord this morning. We praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, be the Lord of all this morning, Lord. Praise be to God. Praise God. Let's go ahead and get into our Bibles this morning. I'd like to say that I didn't talk to Dad about this service before he got up here and sang these songs. So if you see a correlation there, that definitely wasn't planned. I appreciate the Lord when He does things like that for us. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. And as you're turning there, I'd like to share how I got the inspiration for this. You know, Brother Branham one time got inspiration from a cigarette ad. If you ever looked at that, he said, a smoking man's taste, a thinking man's filter. So don't worry, though. He said the thinking man don't smoke at all. So he wasn't trying to advocate smoking, but he was able to get a thought from that. And actually, if you look it up, Brother Graham did too. So I thought that was pretty good. But I'd like to share where I got this thought for this series. Sister Mary Ellen, when she came in, she's the one from the gas station. She's sitting back there. And I was outside waiting, you know, just in case anybody show up. And I happened to look over and I saw her writing. And I was like, what could she be writing? You know, she's first time here. And I'm just curious. And I just happened to glance over her shoulder and I realized what she was writing. She was writing this though. This thing we have here. And He shall be called. And she was putting down all those names, or all the, I should say, titles for Jesus Christ. So that's where I was like, you know what? That's pretty good. And then the Lord just started quickening things to me. And I'm like, that's the way we're going. And that's the way it's going to be. We'll see how long this goes. I mean, looking at that, oh my goodness, we're going to be preaching this till Jesus comes. But I'm okay with that. You know, that's all right. If that's what He wants, that's what we'll do. But this series is, and He shall be called.
Amen.
And He, Jesus, shall be called. Part one, the Advocate.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read this together. You'll see where we're going here in a minute. Jesus shall be called the Advocate. Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And He went and told them that he had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive, you believe He's alive this morning.
Amen.
Amen. When they heard that He was alive and had not seen of her, believed not. After that, He appeared in another form unto two of them, which that's Cleopas and his friend, on the way to Emmaus. He appeared to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat and meat and said, guys, it's all right, you didn't believe, I understand. That's not what He said, is it? It says, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. So we always get on Thomas about not believing. Here you go. All 11 disciples didn't believe until He showed up Himself. Here's what we're going to emphasize this morning. This is where Jesus is on trial. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You believe that this morning?
Okay.
Amen. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I guess we're supposed to still speak in tongues in this day. That's all right. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to 1 John real quick here. Just want to read a verse or two there. 1 John, which is almost right there before Revelation. First John chapter 2. This is where we're going to lead our thought into. Lord willing. Have to get me a drink right now. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Doesn't that make you feel good when you start to think? Even if you do sin, you have an advocate.
Yes, sir.
If you don't know what an advocate is, I'll spill the beans. It's a lawyer. You have an attorney on your side. Amen. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We commit ourselves to you. I commit my lips as I speak. I commit the ears and hearts of the people as they hear the word. May you receive glory this service, Father. May we not limit you in any way, shape, or form. If you want to come down and fill us anew with the Holy Ghost, yes, we want to be willing to do that. Lord, if you're ready to heal us and deliver us, Father, we're ready to receive it this morning. We thank you for these promises. Lord, and I pray you move upon the scene this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And he shall be called. It didn't say he might be called. He shall be called the advocate. So I looked up the word advocate. And yeah, that was the first word up here, but I felt inspired to go that way, okay? I could have picked anything on there and just found 100 scriptures about it. But I went this route by the help of the Lord. Advocate in the Greek is, I'm going to try this, parakletos. Parakletos. And it means called to one's aid. It's a noun. Sorry, let me get the definition. It's an advocate, a comforter, a helper, an intercessor, a counselor, a comfort, a helper. Look, this is pretty good situation to have Jesus as your helper, your comforter. He's a good lawyer. He's the one that actually cares about your case, not just trying to get your money. Another definition I found said one who pleads another case before a judge, a pleader. Counsel for defense, a legal assistant, an advocate. And universally, one who pleads another cause with one. So he's the one telling God, and I hope you understand the Godhead there, but he's the one pleading your case before the Father. He's the one saying, look, I understand my child made mistakes. I understand they sinned, but I have been the propitiation for their sin. I am the atonement that came and paid for that sin. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. I like this. It's the third definition here of advocate. It says, in the widest sense, okay? I mean, if you want to use this in general, a helper, a succor, an aider, an assistant. Now look what this says here. This is out of the Strong's Concordance. So, of the Holy Spirit destined to take the place of Christ with the apostles, because Christ had left, ascended up to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit back into the apostles to lead them. You have the Holy Spirit this morning? He's sent here to lead us. Amen. Now watch this. To lead them to a deeper knowledge of gospel truth. So that's why this advocate came. To lead us into gospel truth and to give them the divine strength, Brother Kent. Divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials and persecutions. Amen. On behalf of the divine kingdom. I told Brother Kent, he started talking to me a little bit before service. I said, brother, we better stop because I'm going to preach my sermon at you. Because that's where it was coming from. Holy Spirit is come as our advocate. It's Jesus Christ in the form of the Spirit has come into us to be our aider, our secure, our helper, and to give us strength, divine strength, not your will, not by power, not by might, by the Spirit do we overcome things. That's how we'll overcome every time. Needed and able to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the divine kingdom. Now before I get started, we understand, as I told you a minute ago, a lawyer is like we'd say, or an advocate is like a lawyer in a court case. So what I want to do is I want to establish a court case this morning. And God forbid that I would do this, but I believe I need to take sides real quick and show you the side of the devil. The devil is obviously the prosecuting attorney. And what's on trial today is the Word of God. Does the Word of God work? Is it true or is it false? That's where we need. Yeah, it is true. We've already got our verdict. Praise God. That means you're probably born again. Hallelujah. Now, the devil takes the side, obviously, that the Word of God is false. It does not work. He is the prosecuting attorney. He will come up and give his case. So I'm going to try to play that out the best of my ability. It's kind of hard for me to, God forbid, I would take sides against Christ. But I want to give you an illustration here. And with any good attorney, they have to have witnesses. You can't just go up there and get being some emotional attorney. You've got to have somebody come up and testify of what you're trying to convince the court of. What you're trying to convince this judge, whether the word of God is true or it's false. So let's bring a few witnesses up. I'll bring up first Mr. Unbeliever. Mr. Unbeliever comes up and I said, Mr. Unbeliever, it's been known to me, Satan talking, that you attended a so-called Holy Ghost meeting. And when you were there, you heard of testimonies of people getting healed supernaturally. They said that according to Mark 16 that we read, if you lay the signs of believer, if they lay hands on you, you would get well. Did you not walk up and get hands laid on you?
Yes.
Yes, I did, says Mr. Unbeliever. Yes, I did. That was 2 months ago. I said, okay. Are you feeling any better? I haven't felt a cinch better the whole time, says Mr. Unbeliever. Okay, thank you, Mr. Unbeliever. I appreciate that. Go ahead and step down. Mark 16 was put onto the test as an attorney. Satan again makes his case very plain to the judge. We used Mark 16. They said the so-called meeting that should have happened and it didn't work. Mr. Unbeliever, you can step down. Thank you. Now what he forgot to do is read part of the Bible here a little bit, which is Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's where his case falls apart, okay? Like I said, I'm trying to take the side of the pillow. It's really tough. I don't like this. God have mercy. Whew. All right. Brother Branham does this too in a court trial. Next, let's bring up another witness here. You know, the devil's got plenty of witnesses. He's got plenty of witnesses against you. He'll call you Mr. Unbeliever.
Sure.
Look what you, unbeliever. Look what you did.
Yes.
Don't associate with that unbeliever. We talk about the two laws of believer. Don't believe that law of the flesh. That ain't you. Cast that aside.
Amen.
Let's bring up Mr. Skeptic. Okay, Mr. Skeptic, come up to the podium. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Skeptic. Appreciate that. Mr. Skeptic, it's just so fitting, Dad. Come up to another so-called Holy Ghost-filled church. And they said, according to James 5:14, if we pray the prayer of faith and anoint you with oil, you get well. Mr. Skeptic said, that's true. That's what they told me. I believe that. I testified that I believe that. And I got up there, and they prayed for me. And according to my testimony, it didn't work. I think that the only reason others got healed is because there was some kind of special ointment they used, or some kind of mental deception, or something of the sort. You know, he's a skeptic now, so that's how skeptics think. They think, there's no way this is actually divine. There's got to be some little way this worked out.
Right.
Welcome to Mr. Skeptic. Amen. I appreciate not amen and the devil. I appreciate that this morning. That's okay. I appreciate you amen and later on when I get to there. Mr. Skeptic didn't realize, and you know, the devil said, thank you, Mr. Skeptic. I appreciate your testimony. You can go ahead and sit down. James 5:14, court has failed as well. So now we have Mark 16 has failed. James 5:14 does not work as well. What Mr. Skeptic forgot to read, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Amen.
There ain't no magic formula for these things to getting healed. It's called obedience. That's how you get healed. Faith in the Word of God, obeying the Word of God will happen.
Amen.
Amen. That's where Mr. Skeptic went wrong. Thank you, Mr. Skeptic. You can step down now. The last one, probably the most convincing, obviously. You save your best witness for last, right? You really just nail the case down. Let's bring up Mr. Impatient. Mr. Impatient, please come up to the podium. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Patient. In the days of Noah, Mr. Impatient, didn't you hear Noah say something about an ark? Let's go before the flood came. Is that okay? Let's go to the trial happening after Noah was told for 100 years that the flood was going to come. Hadn't happened yet. It was going to happen another 20 years later. We'll get to that in a minute. Took 120 years. We'll say, year 100, we had this trial. Say, didn't so fanatic Noah, this crazy man that's building a big boat, didn't he say the waters were coming? He said, yes, Mr. Impatient says. I believed that for 100 years. I stood right there as faithful as I could. I amen Noah every time he preached that sermon. I believed it with all my heart, but then I realized it failed. It didn't happen. And I decided to go home, go find my own ark that I believe would be better, according to Mr. Skeptic's design, because he obviously knows what he's talking about. The Word of God doesn't.
Right.
And the promise God has failed. Or we'll just bring it down to healing. Mr. Impatient also, you know, he's got his brother, Mrs. Impatient, his wife, comes up and says, yes, I went to another so-called Holy Ghost meeting. They had somebody spoke in tongues and interpreted. Didn't come to pass that day. It was obviously of the devil. Or actually wouldn't say that, right? Because the devil's his case. But Mr. didn't wait for the promise of God to come to pass, okay? Amen. I think you get the point of Mr. Impatient. Mr. Impatient likes to come into our mind pretty often. Oh, you got prayed yesterday. You don't feel no better yet. What's that got to do with anything? Tell me where God put a time limit on anything.
Sure.
He don't care about time. Time's the last thing in God's pocket. He's got all the time that ever existed. He's got eternity. You think he's worried about some time? No, he's already sees the whole picture. He knows you're going to come through. We'll stay here. Let me seal up Satan's case. I'm ready to knock this case down, okay? I'm going to tell you right now. The Bible says in Matthew 13:20, but he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and then none, which means immediately, with joy receiveth it, yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So they have the initial, yeah, this is right, Mr. Impatient does, and then he falls away. Hebrews 6:12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promise. It didn't just say faith, and it didn't say just patience. You got to believe it, and you got to wait. And that whole time in between, you can't stop believing. You can't doubt halfway into it. You'll lose it. You've got to believe the whole time. So let's seal up Satan's case, because I am sick and tired of doing this already. We've got Mr. Unbeliever, Mr. Skeptic, and Mr. Impatient. I got a little lengthy quote here, but you have patience with me this morning. Amen. Coming from a court trial 64, I'm going to read this. Therefore, he is indicting God, trying to get a case against him to say that God has put something in his word for his believing children and does not stand behind what he promised. Also, he claims that he is unfair to make such a promise to people, to his believing children, and is not able to back up what he has said he would do. Now, the prosecuting attorney is showing a hard case here against the defendant. He is not able to back it up because we got witnesses here that he does not stand behind the word that he promised. Yet the prosecuting attorney speaks on. The prosecuting attorney says, which is Satan, yet God's promises that all things are possible to believers. God says that in his word. The prosecuting attorney is sealing up his case now, you see. He thinks he's got it because the three witnesses that gave witness and give it to the scripture and has quoted the scripture right and everything the way they've done it. Isn't that the way Satan does your case? He don't show up with some almanac or something out of the magazines. He shows up you with the word of God. But puts you on the wrong side of the equation. He puts you with him. Where he's going, what he's doing. And you have to realize, a child of God, you ain't nothing to do with that.
Amen.
Now, the prosecuting attorney is also sealing them little places that God promised that all things are possible to them that believe. Yet, again, the prosecuting attorney speaks, Satan, and says, God's promises to be alive after he has been crucified. He promises he is alive yet. And also his promises in his scripture, Hebrews 13:8, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's unable to support or back up what he promises. He's nailed it down real tight so that there's not a chance to get out of it. He's not able to do it. God cannot keep his word, other word. He claims that he is alive from the dead. He claims also, John 14:12, that he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He hasn't been able to support that. He also, in the scripture, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me, for because I live, ye live also. Notice again, he claims that. Mark, the 17th chapter, speaking of the day. I think that's Luke 17, yeah, Luke 17:30. Speaking of the days of Sodom, which we're now living. Now listen to this. Look what Satan's doing to seal his case up. Like it was in the days of Sodom, that the seed would be in the same position, and that God would come down, being the Word manifested in flesh here on earth, and would be able to do just the same things that God did, which was man in human form, which was called by Abraham Elohim. Did you catch that? Let me.
That's good. Amen.
He said, Satan sealed his case saying, God promised in the last days that God would come down in his people in such a way that it would be Elohim again in his people.
Uh-huh.
Good stuff. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man is being revealed in the last days, that he would reveal himself in the same manner that was taken in the days of Lot, given the scene. So what happened in the days of Lot? God came down in human flesh called Melchizedek, met with Abraham, discerned his heart, discerned the heart of Sarah behind him, that he couldn't even see her. She had her back turned away from him. Told her exactly what she was thinking. That's how God revealed himself in that day. And has not God done the same thing in this day for us? God sent us a prophet that did the exact same thing. And it didn't stop there either. The prophet taught us that we're part of the same body he is.
That's right.
Part of the same God that every Christian ever was is a part of the same body, and that body is Christ. Amen. and I will seal up Satan's case. He also promises that he would be with us, even in us, until the consummation, or to the end of the world. And he also claims that both heavens and earth will pass, but his word will never fail. Now, I think the prosecuting attorney thinks he has his case pretty well sealed up. He's got witnesses to prove that his word is not the truth. Now, listen to this. This comes down to you now. You hear Satan's case, say amen. You got his three witnesses. You figured out what Satan's bringing. Now, you, this is speaking to you now, not Satan or anything. Now, you are both judge and jury this afternoon. You, your mind is the jury, and your actions is the judge. I like that. You, your whatever your jury's verdict is, you'll act out what your verdict is. See, you'll have to do that because your actions speak louder than your words. A lot of people will say, oh yeah, I believe, I'm a Christian, I do it. And then they go out and do the things of the world just like everybody else does. You're not a believer, your actions speak louder than your words. That's right, you can say something, but if you don't mean it, you can't act it.
Amen.
No point being an unbeliever, no point being a make believer. You can't really do it.
Right.
When it came down to the showdown, Judas could not be a Christian.
Amen.
He just couldn't do it. Couldn't accept it. Balaam couldn't be a true prophet. Just couldn't do it. He had to go find some other way to get the children of Israel to sin anyways. Amen. See, your actions will go louder than your words. Notice. So there's Satan's case. Satan's case is that Mr. Unbeliever showed up, said, doesn't work. What's he really doing? Making excuse for his own unbelief. Because the promises of God are not based upon anything but faith. If you don't have faith, don't expect results. You'll never get them. If you're a skeptic, you think you got to figure it all out first before you get to the promises of God, you'll never get it. Because you're leaving faith again. You're trying to use knowledge. You're trying to use your own wisdom. And our mind is enmity against God's. You have to die to your own thoughts, die to your own reasonings, and accept what the Word has said. If the Bible said, I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, I have to believe that.
Amen.
If the Bible said, we shall speak with tongues, I have to believe that we shall speak with tongues. That's part of the Scripture. If the devil shows up, I have to believe that we can cast it out.
Yes.
Not by our power, not by our mind, not by our fasting or the way we run service. Nothing to do with that. It has to do with Satan, or God said it, Satan, come out.
Amen.
And if you hold on to it, he'll come out. You know the first thing Satan says when you say that to him? You can't do this to me. I got the power over you.
Sure.
And if you listen to that, he'll overcome you. That's exactly what happened to the sons of Sceva. They believed what the devil told them. You know, I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you? Who do you think you are? And if they would have said, I'm a son of God, get out of that man. Then they would have got some results. But what did they do? They ran because they knew they were chickens. Because they were Mr. Unbelievers. They were Mr. Skeptics. They were Mr. Impatience. Amen.
Yes.
Now let's go to Jesus' case. So the prosecuting attorney sits down. We brought all our witnesses. We've got the case pretty... Satan feels anyways. He's got the case settled up. Good to go. God's promises for the end time that God will reveal himself in flesh, that has failed. And a lot of message churches believe that. He doesn't come in flesh no more. That was done. That was in the prophet. And we're just waiting in the dry time. God don't heal no more. God don't save. We're just here in Noah's Ark waiting for the judgment. That's a bunch of foolishness. He said, Jesus Christ said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Is the world over yet? I think it's still here. If you believe you're in the millennium, you're confused. This world is still the same that was since the days of Noah. The Holy Spirit gets up as the defense witness now. He's the defendant of the Word of God. He's the one who'll vindicate to people whether the Word is true or not every time.
Right.
You get people to doubt it long enough, and you get a real believer filled with the Holy Ghost, God will come down and eradicate that doubt. Did it for the prophet time and time again. Remember when they trapped him in the corner with all those ministers getting around him and said they wanted to come against him, against his doctrine? And what did God do? God come down and showed him that they wouldn't get the room they were going to get, they would get a different room instead. And he was able to tell one of the critics before they got there, hey, look, this is what's going to happen. Then we're not going to be in that room, we're going to be in this room. This person's going to be sitting here, they're going to be sitting here, they're going to be sitting here, they're going to be sitting here. That's exactly the way it's going to be. Was it Tommy Osborne? Is that right? What could Tommy Osborne have said when he walked in there and goes, we didn't get that room, we got this one. These people are sitting exactly where he said they would be. Who's of God?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit don't sit back forever. All right. There came a day when Jesus said, when they asked him, he said, are you the Son of the Blessed? You know what he said? Right before the cross, he said, I am. And you'll see me sitting on the right hand of the Father. So there was a time to put it down and say, look, shut up, devil. I'm tired of listening to your fat lip.
Uh-huh.
He's a motor mouth. You better believe he is. He's talking right now, too, if you're listening to him. Amen. If you think it's Brother Andrew talking, that's the devil talking. Because it's not the Brother Andrew talking, it's the Holy Spirit talking this morning.
Sure.
So as the Holy Spirit, the defendant's witness, gets up, I'll read you what Brother Branham says. Coming out of court trial again. Notice, he said that. The prosecutor has said that these promises are to believers. And that believers is the only thing that the promises is to. Not to unbelievers and skeptics. So right there, Mr. Unbeliever's case and Mr. Skeptic fell apart. Because he said, the promise isn't for you. I never said it was for unbelievers. I never said it was just to anybody. It's to anybody that will believe. So once you said you don't believe, too bad, buddy. Now like this, the defense witness claims that God distinctly said that it was to believers. And calls the attention. He's getting the court to look at this now. I only promised this to believers. They promised it to unbelievers. Each one that testified and protested against the word admitted that others claimed to be healed. You see what he's saying? He's using their own witness against them. You said you other people got healed. What did they act upon? Faith. They were the real believers.
Amen.
The man, turn on the light.
Amen.
Amen. See, so that throws him out right now. See that, but that's the way, we'll let the case go on a little while.
Sure.
And the defendant's witness should know whether they're believers or not. Because he is the one that quickens the word. If you want to come tell me you're a believer and you don't act upon God's word, you don't believe God's word, the Holy Ghost don't witness to you, I don't really care anymore. You need to believe the word.
Amen.
If you want to sit here and doubt and reason with it and say, well, I think most of it's right, but this part I just can't accept. Then you're not a believer yet. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost told you that. He's the one that quickens the word.
Yes, he is. Amen.
I continue reading here. He knows whether they believe or not. Don't you think so? Congregation says.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's what it says here. I mean, I'm just reading it to you. He should know. He knows whether they are believers or not because he is the only one can put life in the word.
Amen.
The devil can't do it. He tries. He might get a little thing to happen here, but he can't put life into the word to where your life is exactly like Christ. Satan cannot impersonate Christ's life.
Amen.
He can try, but you'll always be able to find it's not what Christ did. That's not what Christ would have done. That's not what Christ would have acted. That's not the results Christ would have got. It's pretty easy when we can go read four Gospels that tells you exactly what Jesus Christ did. We need to follow in his footsteps by faith in what he did for us.
Yes, Lord.
Here would be my body standing here without a spirit. I'd be dead. But it's only life can quicken this body to move. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can quicken the word. He is the only one can put it in action. And he ought to know whether they are believers or not. And against their own testimony that they said, others claim to be healed and others claim to see these things, but they didn't. Now see, his witness is already condemned. Look how quick it took the Holy Spirit to say this. Look. Mr. Unbeliever ain't a believer. Look at his actions. It proves he's not a believer. He watched other believers get healed. He's not in the promise. He didn't claim it.
Amen.
It's not God's word that has failed. It's not the Holy Spirit that's failed. It's those people's faith that has failed.
Yes, Lord.
I would have answered their prayers just the same, but they didn't believe. I like 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. He takes what that devil's witness said, he turned it right around and said, look, you're a hypocrite. You're a liar. You watched others get healed, you should have done what they did. You would have got healed the same.
Amen.
I had an example there, but it just left me here. So the attorney, you know, he gets his opening speech there going a little bit. But of course, he needs his defense witnesses. So let's bring up a few defense witnesses. Is that all right this morning? Amen. Let's bring up Noah. Noah said, yes, God told me. 120 years before it happened, that I needed to build an ark and there was a flood coming to destroy the world. Mr. Unbeliever showed up and said, that's foolishness. God don't speak to us like that anymore. We're in a sophisticated age. God talks to the scientists.
Right.
God talks to you figuring out mathematics or something. And I ignored Mr. Unbeliever. Noah speaking. And I went on with what God had told me to say. What God told me was going to happen, I believed it. Then came Mr. Skeptic. He looked at my ark and said, look, that's not going to hold. That the way you're doing that's foolish. You need to use this titanium nuclear bomb thing I made up. That'll get you through the flood. See, Mr. Skeptic might believe some of the word, but he won't believe what God told you to do about the word.
Amen.
We need to do it some other way. And he said, no, Mr. Skeptic, I'm sorry. I appreciate your opinion. I believe, you know, if you want to get on the ark, that's just fine. If you want to denounce all this stuff that you're telling me. But I'm going to build the ark the way God said so. I'm going to pitch it. It's going to look foolish. I'm going to use a bunch of wood. It's going to be this big box. But that's the way God said do it.
Amen.
Then, of course, Mr. Impatient, we showed up. We already talked about his witness earlier. At about 100 years after I had waited, he attended my church all 100 years. He decided to walk out the door, and I held on to the promise of God. At 120 years, the flood came. God vindicated his word in my life against all three of these witnesses, says Noah.
Amen. The
prosecuting attorney says, thank you, Noah. I appreciate that. Go ahead and sit down, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bring up another man. How about Abraham? Abraham was given a promise at 75 years old. You're going to have a son. Your wife's been barren your whole life. She's 65. You've been barren your whole life. But I'm going to give you a son. Abraham says, yes, that was exactly what God had told me. And I acted upon his word. We got the little booties ready. We got the crib around. And we waited. I'd ask every month or so, Sarah, how you feeling? Won't be no different. But I said, praise God, we're having that baby anyhow because God said so. Mr. Unbeliever came and said, look, God don't do that no more. You're too old. He's already set up his natural law. Babies come between the ages of 20 and 40. You're too old now. You can't do that. That's not possible.
Yeah.
I listened to Unbeliever for a second. And then I realized, no, that's okay. You can go ahead on your way, Mr. Unbeliever. I'm not doubting the promise of God. Amen. Mr. Skeptic showed up. Said the same thing. What are you talking about? Look how old you are. Why don't you take Hagar? Look at that. Mr. Skeptic moved through his own wife. Why don't you take Hagar and do it some other way besides what God said? And I did listen to that for a while, but then I came right back and said, nope, that's not the promise of God. God said to do Sarah, I would have a son. And of course, Mr. Impatient had to show up. It was 25 years he waited for this kid. You don't think Mr. Impatient was there? Of course he showed up. Mr. Impatient said, oh, it's been 20 years. Noah, you still talking about that? You still preaching the same sermon? Have you got anything else new besides you're going to have a kid, father of nations? Because God changed his name from Abram, which is exalted father, to Abraham, father of nations, before he ever had a child. God was already by promise. And Abraham, according to the Bible, never doubted because God didn't look at all that flesh. He didn't look at his mistakes. He looked at his faith. And down in Abraham's heart, he knew, God promises, I'm having a son. I don't care if I'm dead. Rod, God will have to raise me back up and give me a son. Amen. He waited 25 years. Some of us can't wait 25 seconds for God to do something for us. We can't wait 25 minutes. We can't wait till the preacher gets done preaching. We're already done, checked out, ready to go eat lunch. Wait on God a little bit. God will answer you.
Amen.
And I can go down the whole Bible with these skeptics and stuff. Isaiah, would you please stand up here real quick? Didn't you say a virgin shall conceive? He said, yes, sir, I did. 712 years before it ever got here. Mr. Impatient showed up on my deathbed, because remember, he was sawed in half. Showed up right there and said, what about that virgin conceiving, Isaiah? What'd you think about that? False prophet, as they sawed him in half. He went to the grave waiting for the word that he preached to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here as a witness, says Isaiah, that the promised son did come. And he was born of a virgin, just as I said. His name would be called Emmanuel, God with us.
Praise
be to God. Moses, I was called to be the deliverer. Egypt tried to kill me. I ran from God for 40 years, but that didn't mean anything. God came down and met me in a burning bush, sent me right back. God's word never failed. He said there'd be a deliverer, and I was called to be it, and it was fulfilled.
Amen.
Amen. David being king. I always liked that one. You know, he was anointed king years before he became king. He was running for his life the whole time. In between where he was anointed, from that day forward, he was running from Saul. Because Saul was going to kill him. Keep the promise of God from happening. But David said, I didn't have to fight for myself. And God brought me to the throne.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word of God is true.
Yes, it is.
David sits down. Amen. Daniel in the fiery furnace. That's the three Hebrew boys. I'm thinking the lion's den. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel said, well, you know, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to pray to him all 3 days, even though the devil done told me not to do it. I'm going to do it anyways. You know what? I'm actually going to open my windows. I'm going to open my windows so they can see me doing it. Don't be ashamed of Christianity. Don't worry about what they tell you at work or at school or all this nonsense. I get that all the time. I'm a school teacher. And people go, you know, how do you handle that, you know, separation of church and school? And I go, what are you talking about? Jesus didn't tell me. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, unless you're a school teacher. Then you're not allowed to do it. No, no, I don't play that game. If I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian 24/7.
Amen.
No matter where I am. He'll tell you the background on my screen, it's a big picture of Hoffman's head with the cloud around it. They all know I got it. On the back wall, I got a class 2005 thing. It's got a big cross on it. It says, delight thyself in the Lord and he'll direct thy paths. Over here, I got a picture of the cloud. Over there, I got articles. I got testimonies of the healing that's happened at school. I posted those right on the wall. Put the testimony of how I became a teacher right on my wall. I'm not ashamed. He is the same. The word don't fail.
Amen.
If you'll put faith in it, it'll happen every time.
Amen.
Mr. Unbeliever's a liar.
Amen.
Mr. Skeptic's stupid. Mr. Impatient needs to wait around a little bit. Stop being this microwave age attitude. Well, I prayed for it 5 seconds ago. Where's it at, God? That's how the children of the devil handle God. I'd hope he's the Son of God, you wouldn't take it that way. What's the condition the promises of God are fulfilled on? Faith. As we just read there, faith and patience inherit the promises.
Amen.
Let's read that. Or actually, Mark chapter 11. We read this one when we did perfect faith last week. I just remembered that. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. So there you go. Step one. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Who knows your heart? God does. He knows if you're doubting in your heart. If you're doubting in your heart, it ain't going to happen. That's part of the condition. He said you can't doubt.
Right.
That's where all the three defense witnesses failed. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Coming out of the unchangeable God working in an unspectable way. Oh, I love that. Now when Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, I'll do it. Now that's just right down off the shoulder. I will do it. And he said, now it's on conditions. If you believe when you ask, he'll do it. If you just say, Jesus, you know, I could use some joy. Can I have some? But you don't really. Then 2 seconds later you go, oh, sad. Well, you don't got no faith. You said you're going to get joy.
Amen.
You should be able to, even if you don't listen to what your flesh says, don't listen to what your mind says. Say, I got joy. And wear a smile. I don't care if you got cancer eating you up from the inside out. You walk around saying, praise God, I'm healed, I feel good.
Amen.
That's faith. Faith got hair on his chest, says, devil, I'm not listening to you today. I'm not listening to this thing. I'm not listening to these symptoms. I'm listening to what the Word of God has said.
Amen.
And what the Holy Ghost came to me and quickened.
Amen.
Which is this message.
Amen.
It's on condition. If you believe when you ask. Now in Mark, coming that same quote, Mark 11, 22, we find out that Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea and don't doubt, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you've said. Amen. Now the thing is, well, let's bring this down to how you can actually apply this.
Amen.
You just couldn't go out here and say, mountain, move down. You got to have a motive, an objective to that, you see. And that's, you've got to find out first if it's the will of God. And then your motives and your objectives to the will of God. You see, that's the condition. God ain't going to let these things just happen to glorify Satan. And if that's your desire or to glorify yourself, it'll never happen. Because how can you have faith?
Amen.
If you're not trying to glory in the Lord, how can you have faith? There's no way. You're a hypocrite. I lost my spot there. I'm sorry. Figure out if it's the will of God and then speak to it and stand there. That's a good one, right? When he talks about the armor of God, he says, when you put it all in there, stand there for it. Didn't even say run. Don't worry. Devil's coming. You don't got to go find him. You don't got to go try to tackle him out. He'll show up at your door. He's that stupid. He really is. You think he'd learn after getting whipped by the Holy Spirit so many times, he quit doing it. But he don't, because he's deceiving himself. He thinks he can still overcome, but he can't. Stand there. It'll come down. Yeah, you see, if you get the conditions right, but you've got to get the conditions right. What's the conditions? Faith.
Amen. Praise.
Faith in God.
Amen.
To the glory of God, to the will of God, that he might be praised. That's when you start getting results. Don't go around saying, look, I'm a magical healer man. You know, look at me. Ha! You got healed, see?
Amen.
No, that's a bunch of foolishness. And that's what we deal with this day. You got these TV evangelists, and it's just a bunch of mockery. What they do with the gifts of God, or what they think's the gifts of God. They make a show out of it. The gospel ain't no show. Some more Jesus went around showing himself off.
Right.
He said he made himself of no reputation,
Amen.
But took upon himself the form of a servant. And that's what any minister's supposed to do. That's what the word minister means. Servant. And I can't stand when ministers act like you're supposed to bow down to their feet. And don't do it to me either. You start doing that stuff, I'm just going to be like the angel said, no, give glory to God. I didn't have nothing to do with that.
Amen.
Even if my faith does something, I didn't get that of myself. God gave me that faith.
Amen.
I've got nothing to glory in but the Lord.
Amen.
And what he does.
Amen.
And what he can do in me.
Amen.
Amen. We know he gives us the credit for these things, but that doesn't mean we go around going, look at me, I'm super faith man. No, humble yourself.
That's right.
And watch God bring glory to you.
Yes.
That's how you get results. The world is falling apart, 63. Now we find out that God promises to supply all of our needs we have need of in this journey. Is that right? But remember, he only supplies it on conditions. You've got to meet his conditions first. If you don't meet his conditions, he will not meet our conditions. We've got to do the thing that's right first. Got to go down to the bottom and build up. That's exactly. We can't start at the top and come down. That's what everybody wants to do. You know, I got saved today. Let's go conquer the world. Why don't you just be faithful in what God called you to do? Why don't you mothers raise your children? That's what we need in this country. We'd have a lot less problems if a lot of moms stayed home and raised their children. And if fathers would actually go to work instead of being a bunch of bums and kicking their feet off and freeloafing off welfare. And that's what these kids look at. They go, I want to be like daddy. Behind a video game my whole life. All the way till I'm 40 years old and still living at home. And now you don't have to live at home with your parents no more. The government will take care of you. You don't want to do nothing? That's fine. Here you go. Here's Medicaid. Here's welfare. Take it all. Buddy, sit at home. Go fill out a few applications once in a while. That's a mockery of this evil age. And I'm not even necessarily speaking against it. I'm speaking against this attitude that I can just sit here and, you know, I'm do all these things. You know, all these people should do this for me. You're not entitled to anything. It's by grace that we even have what we have.
Amen.
All of his promises are unconditioned. But we try to reverse this by our traditions. We try to make God something else. We are going to enter in. I can't say this word. We are going to inject our tradition and say it a little better. Or that's the way that people try to think. Don't change God's word. Don't change his program. Go by his conditions. It will work. I heard Brother Brad Burgess one time. We were down there and he said, you know, a lot of people. I'm not done. I'm just turning close in the Bible. Don't get all excited. I'm not done. Brother Brad Burgess down there in Louisville was talking about a few testimonies he had where he saw a man's or child's leg or something that was short and grew back out right in front of his eyes. He said, look, you need to, if you get this right, it works. I've seen it. And there was another time he said, I had faith. All of a sudden, I had this key. It was the wrong key. But all of a sudden, this man was needing his car to get home. And this faith just came over me. And I said, give me that key. Put it right in there. Opened it right up. He said, that key ain't worked since. He said, get it right and it'll work.
Amen.
Holy Spirit will tell you what to do and it won't fail.
Amen.
And the problem, we become Mr. Skeptic with the Holy Ghost. Was that God really told me to go pray for that person?
Yes.
Was that God? Oh, no. That was foolish. You know, God don't want to receive glory today. You see what let's put it in that perspective for a minute. What are we doing? Why wouldn't we pray for them? Oh, they don't get healed. They're still unbelievers anyways. What'd you do? Send them to hell number two?
Uh-huh.
What do you got to lose?
Right.
That's why the sower went forth to sow seed. And remember, he just threw it everywhere.
Uh-huh.
It went on the ground. It went on stony places. It went in thorns. He didn't care. We got infinite supply. You don't got to worry about this living water. There's plenty to go around.
Amen.
You spread it out whoever
Amen.
You can get it to. Give it to them.
Yes.
Give it freely. Don't expect nothing in return. Don't need no glory. Even if they get healed and say, you're the devil anyways. Don't worry about it. How many times do you think that happened to Brother Branham? Millions of people got healed in his ministry. How come he didn't have millions of followers?
Uh-huh.
You think everyone that got healed there would come follow him or support him in some way? Yet he had more enemies than all of us combined.
Amen.
Amen. We got to start at the bottom, work up. And if you look at even at the statue of perfect man, what's the bottom?
Faith.
Faith in the Word of God. And I'm going to read that what Brother Branham says out of Statue of Perfect Man 62. Now there's the thing that comes in this morning we're going to talk about now. All right. A house. This foundation is first. What's the foundation of Christianity?
Faith
in the Word of God.
Amen.
That's your foundation. Then you begin to grow. Then you start, you begin to add to this foundation, skipping down toward the end of the sermon. Build me up, Lord, into this. And he's pointing at the whole thing. If you ever see the pyramid, I got it in my room, Kyle Rye, you've seen that before? Build it all the way up. He says, Lord, build me up, O Lord, into this. Let Christ be my head, that working through me on my foundation, my faith that's in him. Let virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness work in me, Lord, is my prayer.
Amen.
I don't care, live or die, sink or sink or drown, denomination, no denomination, friend or no friend, let that work in me. Let Christ's virtue, his knowledge, flow out that I might be able to teach those.
Amen.
For God has sent the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, all for the perfecting and bringing all these virtues into it.
Amen.
There's what the ministry's for, to equip the children of God to have Christ formed in them. Didn't Paul say, I travail him to see Christ's birth in you. I want to see it. And I say the same thing. I'm not here to boast up even us as a denomination that's a little bit better doctrine, or myself as some mighty preacher. I'm here to see the children of God. You walk out and say, Brother Andrew, you told me to have faith. I went out there and I did something by faith. And praise God, it worked.
Amen.
That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear, Brother Andrew, can you please help me come have faith for me? How many times do you see people do that? Preachers.
Sure.
All the time. And the people are just as flawed as the preachers that let them do that. The answer should be, hey, brother, that, you know, I don't mind praying with you, but I'm not praying for you.
Amen.
You understand the difference?
Yes.
I don't mind asking, like even Dad, I believe he's already claimed his healing. I believe he's already got it. That don't mean you can't pray for him. That his faith would stay strong.
Yeah.
That's all right. That don't mean he's doubting. That's why you're praying. No. But if you have to pray for him and he goes, wowsy, wowsy me, you know, I need prayer this morning. Please help me. He's dependent on you now. We're not supposed to depend on man. We're supposed to depend on word, on God's word.
Amen.
For he has sent the fivefold. Let me get to the quote now. All the perfecting, bringing all these virtues into it for that perfection of the coming of the Son of God. Each one of these stones. Now listen to this. This is you now. One of these stones. Each one of these stones are a material off of that one.
Amen.
You're a part of him. Amen. This is the material of this. Each one of these virtues belongs into him, and they're pouring out of him down through them.
Amen.
Christ is emptying himself into us. All that God's was, he emptied into Christ. All Christ was, he emptied into the church,
oh, yes,
into the bride of Christ.
Praise.
So you have to recognize, Christ is in me. My advocate is right here. He stands in my place. When I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. He has died for my sins. He is the propitiation of my faith. For all my sins, he took it far away as the east is from the west. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God, I feel good. I feel good this morning. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He's the foundation of our faith.
Amen.
It's the faith of Christ. It's the virtue of Christ. The knowledge, the patience, all the way up to the love of God, which is Christ himself manifested in you.
Amen.
The same God.
Amen.
Moving in flesh again.
Amen.
Our life proves whether we believe this or not.
Amen.
Your life will tell you if you're if you're Mr. Unbeliever, you're Mr. Skeptic, you're Mr. Impatient, or you're a child of God standing for the Word.
Amen.
Because when you stand for the Word, it happens. And like I said, Mr. Impatient will tell you it's supposed to happen right now. That don't mean what the Bible said. It said faith and patience.
Amen.
But if you have faith and then you say have patience, you're waiting on it going, well, I guess God just don't want to heal me right now. Yeah, he does. Maybe he just wants you to claim it.
Amen.
Maybe he wants you to testify first.
Amen.
So that way he can receive the glory more.
Amen.
See, perspective. We got to keep this perspective. God wants the glory in my life. So whatever's going on, it don't matter. God's trying to get the glory out of my life. And if I yield to that, he'll get the glory out of my
Amen.
Life. You don't think I had all kinds of doubts when my wife's sitting here having contractions and all these things were hooked up to her? You don't think Satan's sitting there whispering to me and going, look what you did. Look what your wife's going through because of your stupid whatever. You know, you said this mean thing to so-and-so 2 years ago. You know what the devil does? He gets desperate after a while. You just keep casting that saying, no, that's all my vanities. That ain't what I'm trusting in. I ain't trusting my works. I ain't trusting what I've done or not done. I'm trusting what Christ did. That perfect atonement that came into my heart. And I know it because I've received the Holy Ghost. I feel like preaching. Man, praise God. This is the truth. He shall be called our advocate.
Amen. 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 Oh, glory to Jesus.
Now to try to close this out, I'm trying. trying. Pray for him. One other thing I want to bring to your attention up here. So look back up here at the sign. First word up there, I hope if you can read it, it's advocate. Go down about two lines and go all the way to the end. What does that say? Judge! Huh. So let's put the court case in the right perspective now. The judge is Christ. He shall be called the judge. So behind the, what's that thing called? The hammer, the anvil?
The gavel.
The gavel. Behind the gavel, there's Christ. And as all this is coming about, all these witnesses against you, because that's what Satan does, he doesn't just come against the word of Christ. He comes against you, the individual. Amen. Look what they did last week. Look what they did yesterday. Look what they thought in church. Bunch of hypocrites. And Satan's, or God puts the gavel down and says, call to order. You know, this devil's getting all worked up. Calm down, Mr. Devil. Go sit down. And then he says, will the defense attorney get up? And you know what happens? Puts his gavel down, steps down, and then he says, Your Honor, sir, he's the judge and the attorney.
Amen.
He's both. Can we get a revelation of that? How do you lose a case when the judge is your attorney? Amen. You can't lose. It's rigged. Amen. The game's already won. And by predestination, if you're a seed of God, you've already been accepted.
Oh,
and all the Holy Ghost did is come and give you a witness. So you knew it. So God can show you, look who you are. The new birth didn't make you something new. You were always a child of God. You were in a cage, bound up by the things of the world. And when the Holy Ghost came, it eradicated that cage. Hallelujah, man. It's so good. Took that cage away and showed you're a son of God the whole time. When you were out there in the world, you trying to have pleasure in those things and you couldn't do it. This is why. Because you were meant to be holy. You were made to live for me, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
Coming out of the third seal, 63. And Christ is the revelation of God. He come to reveal God because he and God were the same. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And otherwise, you never known what God was until he revealed himself through Christ. Then you can see. I love this. I used to think years ago that maybe God was angry with me, but Christ loved me. You ever been there? I've been there. Come to find out, it's the same person. Doesn't that make you feel good? And Christ is the very heart of God. So when you look at Christ extending his arm to anybody that would take it, you don't think he would have went for the Pharisees if they let him? He would have. He went to Simon's house and he made a mockery out of him. He still went. He went wherever he was invited. Christ showed up. He'll show up right here in this church. You invite him, he'll be here. Yes. He'll be at your house. You invite him, he'll come.
Yes, he will.
He'll speak to you. What's the thing? Do you let Mr. Skeptic's voice drown out the voice of Christ? Brother, how do I know it's the voice of Christ? Right here. Amen. If what it says is right here in the Word, that's God talking to you.
Amen.
If it's something to get you to start doubting the Word, doubt who you are in the Word, Amen. That's the devil. That's Amen. Our enemy.
Amen.
I got one more quote I want to finish up on. And just to solidify that, Hebrews 1:3 says, talking about Christ, who being in the brightness of his glory, God's glory, Christ being in the brightness of God's glory, and the expressed image of his person. Whew. And that just make you feel good. He's the expressed image of that invisible God. So it's not two different gods, it's not two different minds, two different people. It was God made flesh.
Amen.
And in this day, we're supposed to have another Son of Man show up. God made flesh in your flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Believe it.
Amen. Coming out of the token. Oh, I feel like that's so fitting, isn't it?
Amen.
Token of the Holy Ghost. Paragraph 67 from 1963. The attorney has got to make it so clear to the judge that the judge will see the justice of your act. Right? That's the attorney's job, to make the judge believe you're innocent. Oh, God. If the people could only see this.
Amen.
So I pray this morning that we see this.
Amen. Amen.
Our judge is our attorney.
Amen.
The case is settled. It's all over. The same one as judge is the attorney, is our attorney. The case is settled. We have the token.
Amen.
Case closed.
Amen.
Both judge and attorney is the same person. When God was made flesh and dwelt among us, our judge become our attorney.
Amen.
And the case is settled. And the Holy Ghost, all of this, is here for a token that we're ready to pass from here unto the lands beyond.
Amen. Wow.
Hallelujah, Jesus. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. So he wrote this to say, don't sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Yes.
Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
So if the one that died for your sins is the one that's going to judge you, and he is your advocate, and he is in your corner, and he is taking your case and wants you to win, how are you going to lose?
Amen.
You can't.
Amen.
Try it. And I love this too. Not for ours only. Not even just for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. People take predestination too far to say Christ only died for the elect. He died that any man could be saved.
Amen.
They rejected him. His blood is eternal. That's the thing we put our carnal mind to and say, oh, the blood's only worth so much. No, it's infinite. Okay? It could forgive any sin.
Amen.
But if you don't believe it, he knows whether you'll believe or not, your sins won't be remitted.
Amen.
But if you believe and God has given you the witness of the Holy Ghost, your sins are gone.
Amen.
Amen. I'll finish on this scripture. Hebrews 6:19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner wither, sorry, where? Whether the forerunner is entered, I'm saying this wrong, God forgive me. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. What is that saying? We wanted to get in behind that veil. We need something for the anchor of the soul. What's the anchor of the soul? That Christ entered in for us.
Amen.
Made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Amen.
Let's stand together. And he shall be called the advocate.
Amen.
And don't just make it the advocate, make it my advocate.
Amen.
He is my attorney. He is on my side. He wants me to win this case.
Amen.
And it's already settled. Praise be to God this morning. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's bow our heads together. I want to challenge you a little this morning to believe the things that were said. Those are good thoughts, but I tell you what, it's time to apply this word to our lives.
Amen.
If you have a need of joy, say, Lord, you're my advocate. I need joy. Satan's being this prosecuting attorney against me, saying, I can't have it. But I don't believe that this morning. I'm going to believe what you said. I could have the things I desire. If you want to see God's glory in your life, if you have some need, I pray that you raise your hands to him and give it to him. Not to me. I ain't nothing to do with it. It's about him. Give that need to him as your attorney. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the word that you sent this morning, Lord. And even the inspiration that I felt, Lord, it's not even thoughts that I even had. Lord, I appreciate that so much when you do that for us. Lord, I pray that each one be able to believe this morning that the case is settled for us that have been entered into Christ. And if we're not into Christ, Lord, I pray that you would show us in our heart where we're lacking, where we don't believe, where we've let Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Unbelief, or Mr. Impatient come into our lives. Father, take it so far from us that you might receive glory out of our lives. We thank you for the prayer request that came, Lord, because we believe that their testimony is sure to come. Father, we thank you for being the same. We're not doubting your word, Lord. We believe your word, that Mark 16 is for us, that Luke 17:30 is being fulfilled in our lives right now, that, Lord, John 14:12, these signs we will do that you did, Father, and even greater than that. Lord, we thank you for it. We believe it. We claim it by faith, Lord. And we pray that we be able to move on and grow higher heights and deeper depths with you. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We give you all the praise this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm going to try something real quick here. I want to sing a song that's not in the book, but I think it's pretty easy. Because I want to nail this down that Jesus is our advocate. He wants to hear our needs. He is in our corner. He wants to take the case for us.
Amen.
Jesus on the main line. Can we sing that? Do we know Jesus on the main line? He goes, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. You know, back in the day, they had phone lines. If you got the main line, that's the way to get in. That's the way to get your voice heard right now. And Jesus is on the main line. If you don't know it, just sing along and we'll get to it soon.
Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Now
let's call him up.
You've got to call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want. It's Jesus' song, man.
You need the Holy Ghost.
Say, I need the Holy Ghost. If you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Jesus' song, man.
Let's call him up. Hallelujah, Lord. He's right here now.
Got to call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want.
Gotta call him up.
Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main.
Oh, if you need healing. If you need healing today.
If need your healing, tell him what you want. If you need your healing, tell him what you want. If you need your healing, tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line.
Oh, let's call him up. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Call him up.
Yes.
Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want.
Hallelujah.
Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line.
Let's just sing that.
Oh, it's Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line.
Oh, let's give him a hand clap. Let's praise him. Let's give him a clap offering. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, let's call him up one more time. Hallelujah.
You've got to call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you feel good this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus a little bit. Let's go to 3:14. Let's talk about Jesus. Look, we're just getting started, church. I know it's pretty good. He's the advocate, but that's just round one of He Shall Be Called. You just wait till we get into this. Praise be to God. Oh, the Lord is so good.